Good evening, everyone. Good evening. If you would, open up an Old Testament, please, and find the book of Haggai, Haggai chapter 1. If you're not familiar with where that is in the Bible, find Matthew and take a sharp left. It is the second to last book in the Old Testament. We'll read a couple of verses in Haggai chapter 1, and that'll get us started off this evening in the Word of God. As you're turning there, as you're getting settled in for this part of our worship, I'll join in the welcome from earlier. Great to see everybody tonight. Hope you've had a good afternoon. It's been a good day. It's been just a joy to be able to share part of this day with you in worship unto God and encouragement of one another. Sunday's my favorite day of the week, and there's just no place I'd rather be than with God's people, worshiping Him and doing the things that we're doing here even this very moment. I will just echo what Shannon announced in the announcements a little bit earlier about making sure if you're in the Wednesday night auditorium class to pick up the class material that you'll find in the rack by the door as you exit this evening. And what I'll just simply ask is that you will look over lesson number one in advance of Wednesday night. Read through the questions, read the pertinent passages that go along with it, answer the question. There's only like 7 or 8 questions, so it's not like it's going to be a super time-consuming thing. Those things will just help to prompt our discussion as we will discuss the subject of discipline this quarter. We concluded the story of Ezra last week with Ezra chapter 10. It's a story about congregational discipline, and so we're going to bridge right over into the subject of discipline and think about that individually, congregationally, and all the dimensions of that. I'm looking forward to that study, and I hope that you'll prepare yourself to be a part of those things that'll begin Wednesday night. Right now, though, it's Haggai chapter 1. I'm going to milk this Ezra thing for as long as I can. Haggai was a prophet during the days of Ezra. And he comes and speaks to God's people that were being led at that time. In Haggai chapter 1, he says this to them in verse number 5. Haggai 1 verse 5, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Well, what were your New Year's resolutions this year? We're now a full year or a full week into the new year. What kind of resolutions did you make for yourself? Some of you, maybe right now, what you're thinking is you're thinking of some very serious efforts that you are determined that you're going to grow in, some areas that you're going to improve in your life. You're just bound and determined you're going to see those things to their fruition here in 2023. Others of you right now, you're thinking of a resolution that maybe you made last week, and maybe it was a resolution to eat better. Maybe it was a resolution to exercise and to get more into nutrition. But you're thinking right now, well, about Thursday last week, I just got tired of eating bird seed all the time, and I decided I'm going to eat the food that actually tastes good. And so I've already broke that resolution. I've already thrown it by the wayside. And what some of you are thinking right now as well about resolutions, this is actually the camp that I would fall into, is resolutions, those are just bogus. Those just really don't work. People kind of treat those like wishes, and they just make them and they break them with impunity and don't really think about it. Well, how about instead of just being flippant with a bunch of resolutions that we may or may not keep, how about instead we do the thing that Haggai said to the people of God in Haggai chapter 1? How about all of us consider our ways? And I do think that this is an appropriate time to consider our ways. Because even though our Gregorian calendar system is not found in Scripture, God is most certainly not bound by our means of keeping time, the new year does, though, provide for us kind of a hard edge. It provides a marker, if you will, that there is a definite ending, and then there is this definite beginning. It's a point in time that we think about, and so that does give us an opportune moment for all of us to consider our ways. You know, the people of Haggai's day, they had returned from Babylonian captivity, and things really were not going well by the time that he showed up on the scene. They had been back for a number of years. They had started the process of rebuilding the temple of God, but by the time Haggai showed up, it still lied in ruins. What was going on? Why had the people stopped? Some of the discouragement that was going on around them had halted the work. Haggai says, one of the problems is that you guys aren't considering your ways. And so what you need to do is you need to just stop everything, and you need to think, and you need to give careful consideration to what's going on. And I think that that's some timeless advice that Haggai gave all those years ago, some 2,500 plus years ago. Yet the problem that we run into, we want to adopt that advice and make use of it in our life, but maybe the problem that we run into here in the 21st century is that that kind of careful consideration, that kind of thoughtful evaluation that Haggai is talking about, the kind that can lead to real change and real growth in our lives, well, the problem is that just takes time. It takes quiet moments to do that kind of serious pondering and reflection and examination. And the problem that we face in our society is we just don't have time for all of that. We're busy. We got a million and one different things that we've got to get done. We just really don't have the time to truly consider our ways. Well, good news. You do tonight. Because that is exactly what we are going to do for the next several minutes together. We are going to consider our ways so that we can grow and improve spiritually in 2023. And to help us in considering our ways, what I'm going to do this evening is I am going to give to you 8 different questions that I think just lend themselves very well to some introspection. And on top of that, they then lend themselves to establishing some tangible goals for our walk with the Lord. And that is precisely where that bright yellow sheet of paper comes in that was handed to you as you came in the door, or maybe as a young person came to your seat. Thank you so much to all of my helpers who helped to pass those out and get those distributed to everyone this evening. You're going to want to make use of that, and that also helps explain why I encourage you this morning to bring something to write with. And even if you forgot to do that, I made sure all the pencil holders were stocked with pencils and pens this evening, so nobody is exempt tonight. Because the way this is going to work is we are going to answer these questions by quite literally putting the writing utensil to the paper and committing something down. I think there's just something amazing, something special that happens when we take a pen and we take the words and the thoughts that are in our mind and we write them down, commit them to paper. And I'm going to urge you this evening because of that, I know some of you are note takers, I'm going to encourage you not to get all tied up with writing down the questions that I'm going to put on the screen and writing down everything that I'm saying tonight. If you're going to do some writing, really would like that writing to be focused on the questions and giving an answer for these questions. I've already given you kind of the abbreviated version of those questions this evening, so they're there for you already, but I want us this evening to kind of focus on how we would answer these questions. And let me just say as well tonight, if you have the liberty in your pew, this would probably be a good occasion to spread out a little bit if you have the opportunity to do that. And the reason I say that is because the title of this sermon tonight is not Consider Everybody Else's Ways. This is not consider your spouse's ways. This is not consider your neighbor in the pew next to you or your pew buddy. Don't consider their ways. No, this is about individual examination. And so as the teachers would oftentimes say in school, keep your eyes on your own paper, okay? And yes, young people, thank you for handing out the papers, but you're not exempt. I think this lesson is just tailor-made tonight for our young people to join right along in this. If you're old enough to do some writing and you know how to write some words, you want to join in all of this. These are just questions that are primed and geared for kids and teenagers, especially, I should say, if you're a new Christian or a new-ish Christian. I'm really just almost going to demand that you participate in this evening because this is the kind of thing that can set some real, tangible goals for your life as you begin your walk with the Lord. And I should say once more, I'm not going to ask anybody this evening to do anything that I myself am not willing to do. I've got my pen handy. And so at the appropriate time, I also am going to take advantage of the moments that we have together to consider my ways. I'll be writing some things down as you're writing some things down. This tonight is about being purposeful. This is about us doing some planning for our lives as the children of God. This is about thoughtfully and carefully considering our ways. You ready for that? Let's start with this first one. Get those pens and papers revved up. Question number one. I want us to think about, what did you learn from this last year that will help you the most in this new year? What did you learn last year that's going to help you this year? I think that's a good starting point for us. And I want to put some Bible under each of these questions this evening, because one of the things that we do not want to do is to be the kind of person who never ever learns from their mistakes. If you are jotting down a passage to go along with the questions, the passage you need here is Proverbs 12. In Proverbs chapter 12, listen to what the wise man says here in verse 15. In Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 15, Solomon records this. He says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." One of the most frustrating things about fools is that they never seem to learn from their mistakes. I'm thinking about King Saul. King Saul just keeps making the same mistakes over and over and over again. By contrast, King David, he makes mistakes, but very rarely does he seem to make the same mistake twice. He learns from where he's erred. And so you and I, let's do that right now. Let's think back over this past year, over 2022. What did you learn in the last 12 months that has caused you to realize, nope, not doing that again, not going to fall for that? Maybe it was a temptation, something the devil tried to trip you up about. Nope, devil, not going to let you catch me on that one again. That's not going to happen. I've got my guard up this year. It's about to get really, really quiet in here. You write something down, I'll be writing something down as well. Some of us are maybe still writing some things down. That's okay. The rest of us, if you've got your Bible open, be finding Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 is where I'm going to derive this second question from, because there, Paul says some things about time. In Ephesians chapter 5, this is verses 15 and 16, where Paul records these words. Ephesians 5:15, he says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Question number two. What is the biggest waster of time in your life? And furthermore, what are you going to do about that in this new year? You think about it, time is the very substance that our lives are made up of. It is, in a very real way, the most precious physical commodity that we have at our disposal. And unfortunately, living in the 21st century, there are more ways to waste time, maybe now, than there ever have been before. Think about it. 500 years ago, men and women spent all of their time just trying to raise their food, prepare their food, and not starve to death. Well, we're not exactly having to worry about that these days, are we? Which means then that we have lots of free time, spare time. And what do we use that time doing? Well, we use that time staring at our computer screens, returning emails. We use that time staring at our smartphone screens, watching stupid cat videos and the like. We use our time watching television screens, binge-watching Netflix shows for hours and hours and hours, or playing video games, or whatever other kind of mindless activity that we can do. And at the end of all of that, many times what we catch ourselves saying is, "Whoa, I just wasted 6 hours doing absolute nonsense." Well, what about you? What is the biggest time waster in your life right now? The Bible says in Ephesians 5 that Christians are people that make the best use of their time. And so what is it that's eating up your time? And then secondly, what are you going to do to correct that? Be writing something down about that. If you're still in Ephesians chapter 5, maybe drop down a little bit in verse 22. I'll borrow from Marlon's Bible class this morning, where the Bible tells us there that wives are to submit to their husbands. You drop down a little further in verse 25, husbands are told to love their wives as Christ loved the church. You keep moving forward in Ephesians chapter 6 and in the first couple of verses there, children are told to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then in verse 4, some instructions are given to parents there. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. All of those verses together there in Ephesians 5 and 6 help to set up this third question, and that is, what is the most important thing that you could do to improve the quality of your family life this year? What's the single most important thing that you could do to make your family relationship better in the coming year? All of us, I'm not going on a little bit of a limb here, but I'm pretty sure all of us have family, whether that's blood relatives, whether that's adopted family, whether that's extended family, whether that's in-laws. And of course, when we think about our families, despite what the Norman Rockwell paintings often depict as family, just all everybody sitting around the table and everybody gets along all the time, we all know there's no such thing as a perfect family. And so what can you do on your part? Because that's really the only thing you can control in your family is your part. What can you do to make that family relationship better? Maybe you have a pretty good family relationship. Okay, it can always be better. What could you do there? And even if there's a possibility somebody here this evening doesn't have any physical relatives, physical family members, then you apply this question thinking about your spiritual family. Think about the spiritual family that you have here at Hillview. But I do think most of us, we're going to be thinking about our spouse or our kids. Or kids, you're going to be thinking about your mom and dad. Or you're going to be thinking about your brother or your sister. And you need to be thinking not about what can I do so that everybody else will make my family a whole lot better. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about what can you do. You taking initiative and you taking responsibility to make your family better. Lots of times we decry the deteriorating condition of the family and the home here in our society today, and we shout and we holler and we wring our hands about that, but then we never do anything about it. We never take tangible steps to make the home better. What can I do to help make my family life better? Let's think about that. Let's put something to paper. If you find the book of Proverbs again, I'm looking for Proverbs 17 this time. Proverbs is an amazing book because it helps us so much with living our lives in the best way possible. It's not just about right and wrong. Proverbs is about best. Listen to what the wise man says here in Proverbs 17. This is verse 16. Proverbs 17, verse 16. He says, "Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense?" I chose that verse for this question, number one, because the verse cracks me up a little bit. But secondly, it does introduce this idea about money and finances. What is the smartest financial decision that you can make this year? What is the wisest choice that you could make financially in this coming year? Now, young people, you don't excuse yourself here. You may not have as much money as your mom and dads do, but you do need to think about this. What can you do with what you do have? What can all of us do with what we have? The answer for some of us may be just very simple. It may mean that we need to get a budget. We need to figure out where our money's going. Maybe some system of checks and balances there on the expenditures. For some of us, maybe that means we need to invest in maybe a good pair of scissors, and we need to go cutting all of those credit cards that we've got. Proverbs, of course, talks about the danger of me being a slave to the lender. I'll just say it that way. Maybe some of us, maybe what we need to work on is saving more and spending less. Maybe I need to think about eliminating some of those unnecessary expenses that happen day by day. This is the one that's really going to meet different people in different places because none of us is at the exact same spot financially. But as we do think about our money and about it being a blessing from God and how He expects all of us to be good stewards of those blessings, what decisions can I make financially this year that would demonstrate good wisdom, as Proverbs 17, 16 talks about? I'll hush. Many of you are writing. I'll write something too. So these last couple of questions, we've thought a little bit about family, we've thought a little about finances, we're kind of thinking about things on the home front. Let's shift gears with this fifth question. Let's actually talk about something that maybe in some ways might be the most important question on this list this evening, because this question has eternal ramifications. It's Romans chapter 10 that I'm looking for here. In Romans chapter 10, I want to read verse number 1. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 1, Paul says this about his brethren, the Jews, in Romans 10 and in verse 1, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for them is that they might be saved." I'm going to build right out of that verse to just simply ask you, for whom will you pray this year for their salvation? Who is someone in your life that you know who is outside of Christ, or maybe somebody who's fallen away from the Lord, who this year will you be determined and diligent to pray for? You know, we've got done spending this past year talking about evangelism and about proclaiming. In fact, it was right around this time a year ago, Austin stood before us on Sunday mornings and taught a class about evangelism. And one of the things that we did at the beginning of that class every week was we called out by name people that we were praying for. We kept a list of those people, and we prayed for those people fervently over the course of those 3 months. My hope is that you've continued to pray for those people, the people that you name personally, and maybe if you remember some of the other names, maybe you've took inventory of that and been praying about that. We want to be involved in that. I then spent 12 months preaching about proclaiming, preaching about evangelism and tactics and things that would help us to be more effective in all of that. And without a doubt, all of that is very, very important. But I find it interesting that in the Bible, Evangelism begins in prayer. Paul prayed here for his Jewish kinsmen. I think about that church in Antioch in Acts chapter 13. Before they ever sent Paul and Barnabas on that first missionary journey, what did they do? They prayed for that work. If evangelism is us doing God's work, and it is, then we of course want to include God in His work, and the way that we do that is through prayer. And we need to make use of the avenue of prayer, because many times I am afraid when we think about the people that we know who are lost, the people that have fell away from the Lord, what happens is we just have lots of fanciful hopes and dreams about those people. We say things like, boy, I sure wish he'd obey the gospel. I hope someday that they'll get their life right with the Lord. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have those hopes and wishes and dreams, but if that's all that it ever amounts to, if there's not some prayer behind that, let alone some action behind that, then what good is all those hopes and wishes and thoughts and dreams? And so who this year can you pray for specifically that they might be saved? I encourage you to write at least one name down. Maybe you're thinking of more than one person. But who's at least one person you're going to commit yourself to praying for that person regularly? I'm thinking of some folks right now. Why don't you just stop and think right now? I'm assuming everybody wrote down at least one name. Think about how pleased God is to see people, number one, thinking about lost folks. And number two, by writing that name down, it's as if we're making a promise, making a vow to God. Lord, I'm going to be committed to praying for this person. And of course, you pray those kinds of things. That's saying, Lord, I'm on deck. I'm on deck to be made useful. You can use me in some way. If there are opportunities in which I can help to reach that person, Lord, I'm ready. Here am I. Send me. I get shivers thinking about the idea of all that. Let me get this next one from Psalm 119, which you find probably right around the middle of your Bible in Psalm 119. This is known as the longest chapter in the Bible. But what it ought to be more famous for is the fact that it is a wonderful ode to Scripture, to the Word of God. In Psalm 119, listen to this stanza here in verse 34. Actually, I'm not going to read the whole stanza, but listen to this part of this stanza. Psalm 119 and in verse 34, there the psalmist says, "Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart." In fact, that phrase, "give me understanding," it's found five times throughout this chapter. And I'll use that to ask this sixth question. What in the Bible do you not understand that you would like to have a better grasp of this year? You know, sometimes in our thinking, we have these holes. We have these gaps. And whenever we recognize that there's these holes and gaps in our thinking, there's some rightful uneasiness about that. Somebody maybe says, you know, I really don't understand why we don't have a piano or other instruments of music here in our worship. Somebody else maybe says, I don't really understand why we make such a big deal about baptism. And yeah, I've been baptized, and people ought to do that, but you know, well, why do we talk so much about that and stress that so much? Or maybe somebody else says, I'm just really kind of lost whenever the evolution and creation subject comes up, and I just feel lost. I don't even know how to talk about that and reason about that from the Scriptures. Sometimes we have these holes in our thinking and in our spiritual life, but the problem is we never actually sit down and make some plans to shovel dirt and fill those holes up. Well, what is it for you that you are uncomfortable with biblically? Maybe it's a certain topic. Maybe it's a specific point of doctrine. Maybe it's just a particular book or section of the Bible. In fact, if you're doing Bible reading, I'm always looking for a chance to plug our Bible reading plan. If you're doing that Bible reading daily, I mean, eventually you're going to come across something that just causes you to scratch your head and say, I just don't get this. I don't know what's going on here. And so what is it that you want to understand better And how will you be proactive in getting that understanding over the course of the next 12 months? Unless you've just perfectly mastered all of the Word of God, I'm hoping all of us are going to be writing something down right now. Let me ask you, thinking about this question, do you really think that if you were to say what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, Lord, give me understanding, do you think God's going to say no to that prayer? You know He's not. God is going to be eager to help people get the understanding that they need so that they can do exactly what the psalmist talked about, that I might obey You and do Your will. How about question number 7? Question number 7 comes out of Acts chapter 4 and in verse 36, where we're being introduced to various people who made up the Jerusalem church, that first church. In Acts 4 verse 36, we are introduced to a man by the name of Barnabas. And we're told that they had given him that name because his name means son of encouragement. We'll use that verse to ask this 7th question. Who is the person that you're going to be intentional about encouraging this year? This is the Barnabas question. Every time we meet Barnabas in the book of Acts, he's just encouraging somebody. In Acts 4, he's encouraging the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. In Acts 9, he's encouraging Saul of Tarsus. In Acts 15, he's encouraging John Mark. He's always helping people. He's always looking for ways to lift people up, to edify people, bringing people along. This is an opportunity for you and I to think about being a Barnabas. Who will you encourage? I'm going to encourage you to think about the answer to that within this family. You can think outside of this family, but to kind of build upon our theme for the year, I'm going to encourage you to think about who in this family at Hillview can I encourage? Maybe it might be one of these young people that we have here, that you're going to be intentional about offering words of advice and encouragement to them, maybe taking them out, spending time with them, taking them under your wing, mentoring them, being an influence in their lives. Maybe that's who you'll encourage. Maybe it'll be one of our shut-ins, or maybe one of our folks who maybe a little bit elderly and a little bit aged. I'm going to be intentional about checking on them, maybe calling them at least once a week and making that part of my regular routine. Maybe it'll be one of our young mothers. I'm going to tell them how much we appreciate what they're doing as they bring these children along and trying to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and maybe even offer to take those kids off of their hands for a little while. Maybe you will think outside of this congregation. Here's a specific one I would offer. Maybe think about encouraging one of the brethren that we help support in preaching the gospel. We get those reports posted regularly. We've got the email addresses and contact information for those guys. I'll tell you, preachers very much appreciate encouragement. Maybe you'll reach out to one of them and be a Barnabas to those individuals. Who will you encourage this year and make that a habit in your life? I'm going to write a name down. I hope you will too. Cheated, I wrote a couple. Maybe you did as well. Last question, and then we'll close this evening. And I'm going to use the book of Proverbs one more time. We probably could have built the whole lesson out of Proverbs. But in Proverbs 21, in Proverbs the 21st chapter, this is a passage that is about planning. It's about looking to the future. There is a place for that in the life of a disciple. And so the wise man says in Proverbs 21 and in verse 5, he says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." Final question tonight. What is the one thing that you're going to do this year that's going to matter in 10 years' time? You know, one of the problems, at least in my opinion, with resolutions is that resolutions, New Year's resolutions, are very now focused. I want to lose weight right now. I want to have better eating habits right now. I want patience right now, and I won't wait a second longer. Sometimes that's okay when we have those desires, especially if we have a problem that needs corrected right away. We need to take care of that right now. But sometimes the really big issues of life, they just get lost in all those urgent right now stuff. We're so busy putting out all these little brush fires that we don't prepare for the bigger things that come later on. So how about we all think a little bit long term? I realize that always needs to be, you know, conditioned with a if the Lord wills, if the Lord allows us, if the world is still standing. I understand that. But if the world is still standing 10 years from now and you're still alive, what can I do right now that will reap great dividends in a decade's time? I'll just say, young mothers, this is your question. The answer is right there for the taking. You know what your answer to this question is? You raise a Timothy. You raise a young man, or you raise a young lady who knows and serves the Lord. That's something you could be doing right now that in 10 years will be very meaningful. Young men, this is a question as well for you to consider. What can you start doing right now that will help prepare you for greater service in the kingdom 10 years from now? Maybe to serve as a deacon in the Lord's church. Maybe if you're a little bit further up the scale in age, maybe that you could be ready in 10 years' time to serve as a shepherd over God's people. Some of you are maybe even much older than that. And maybe you're not even reasonably expecting to still be here in 10 years' time. That's okay. What are you doing today that will help to leave a legacy whenever you're gone? At whatever stage of life you find yourself, what are you going to do now that'll have a lasting effect 10 years from now? Let's think about that. That'll do it. Eight questions that I realize does not cover everything about everything, but it does cover a wide swath. Eight questions that I hope have provoked us in lots of different areas of our life to consider our ways. If you do need the full questions, if you'd like to have something sent to you, I'd be glad to email that or print those off for you. You can have those and then have those lined up exactly with the answers to your questions. But I hope that what you do now have in your hands is that what you have is you have a tangible, actionable set of goals for 2023. Maybe you'll choose on the car ride home this evening to think a little bit further about some of those questions. Maybe you'll want to sharpen your thinking. Maybe you'll go back and do some editing. Well, I didn't really like my answer in the moment. Josh didn't give us enough time, so I'm gonna sharpen that a little bit more. Hey, I'm all for that. Maybe you'll take that, fold it up, and slip it maybe into your Bible or in some other place that you're gonna notice it regularly. Maybe you'll revisit that from time to time to see exactly how you're doing. Are you committed to those things still? Maybe you'll find somebody that will help you, to encourage you in those things. And disclose your list to them and say, "Hey, I want you to help keep me accountable in these things." Whatever you choose to do by way of follow-up, I hope that all of us will have not squandered this opportunity that we've just had for the last whoever's keeping time, however many minutes, the time that we've had to consider our ways. Now, this, of course, is the time that we set aside at the end of nearly every service to sing a song. We call it a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. And we, during this time, we sing this song so that all of us will, can you guess it? Consider our ways. All of us need to be doing that right now. Thinking about where we are spiritually. If you're outside of Christ, if you've never become a Christian, I would hope that you would think long and hard about taking decisive action tonight. And if maybe there's some things that we can do to help you in that process, answer some questions, facilitate in some other kind of way, we're ready to help you. There's a baptistry behind me. There's garments in the back, people that are ready to help. I'll be glad to sit and talk with you and study with you as long as you need so that we can be right with God. If we can help you to that end, we're ready to do that. If you are a Christian, and after considering your ways, you come to realize that there are some major holes in your spiritual life. Maybe there's sin in your life, and that's not been corrected. It's not been repented of. It's not been confessed before the Lord. Right now is a great time to do that. And you're in the midst of people who love you and care about you and want to help you in that, to help you to repent, to help you to confess to the Lord and to help pray with you. If we can help you in any way to serve the Lord in a better way, from this day forward, not just 2023, but however long the Lord allows the world to stand, let's be committed to that. Let's do that right now while we stand and while we sing.